Hey, my name's Clayton. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from pride. Please pray with me, or let me pray. Dear God, there's no reason to be afraid. You already knew before the creation of the world what would happen here, and you have a plan. And thank you that I can trust that it's going to be good, and that you withhold no good thing from us. And I just pray that this can be a blessing to someone in this audience today. In your name I pray, amen. So growing up, I was told to get God's love and go to heaven. I needed to serve others and do good. If I didn't, I'd go to hell. I, being a teenager, didn't want to go to hell, so I figured I need some fire insurance. In church, I heard the message that Jesus came into the world to save sinners like me. I just didn't believe I was a sinner. I would consistently compare myself to others and justify my continued sins by saying, at least I'm not that person, or at least I didn't do that. I never saw church as being enjoyable, but another check-the-box item to do in order to get into heaven. In college, I did church activities, but I felt fake and stifled. So when I got invited to parties, I figured it can't be worse than the exhaustion of trying to be the Christian guy all the time. And partying, I felt a false freedom and invulnerability through not having to think about repercussions of my actions. I justified excessive partying by saying, God already gave me salvation through Jesus and his payment on the cross for my sins, so I can do anything I want. This mentality of doing whatever I want led me to deeper into excessive partying, drugs, drug dealing, arrests I don't remember, waking up in random places, and just a deep hatred of myself. I couldn't control anymore what was happening and felt unworthy of redemption and Jesus' death for me because I'd made this choice. I felt my sins were too great and that Jesus would not want to pay for them, let alone could he be enough to pay for them. On June 30th, 2014, I hit a crossroads, or more accurately, a light pole. After mixing alcohol and drugs, I tried driving home. I've been told I made it a block where I ended up wrecking my car. I don't remember. All I remember is waking up the next morning in jail. My mom had to bail me out, and I just remember dreading what her reaction would be. She just cried, told me she loved me, and didn't want to see me do this anymore. She reminded me of the verse, Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." This was the verse that we had on our refrigerator growing up. But in this moment, I realized chasing my own desires had led me into a downward spiral of destructive relationships, choices, and just a hopeless future. After this, I made the promise to God that I would get back into church. 3 months of searching later, I started to doubt I made the right choice, and maybe my choices were not so bad. This is when I was invited to Watermark. Fast forward again to February of 2015. I just returned from visiting my dad in California and forgiving him for his past abuse of me. I realized at that moment this wasn't something I ever would have dreamed of happening, and that the only explanation I can come up with was that this is part of God's plan for me. This is where I read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 for the very first time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. I decided my ways hadn't worked out so well, so I would try something different. This eventually led me to fully put my trust in Christ and become a church member. Regeneration was brought up in community as another guy was starting it. Not knowing regeneration is a 12-month commitment, my first night was terrible because I just felt hoodwinked. I wanted to quit after the first week because I felt I don't have serious problems to fix. I was convinced to at least continue until my friend stopped going. What angered me was he never stopped going. And I even started to see life change in him, and This became a huge blessing because God used him to show me maybe I truly did actually need this. I grew up viewing drinking as a normal thing that everyone did. So long as I didn't allow it to compromise my work or life, I could justify all my drinking. I deluded myself into thinking drinking to get drunk and regularly blacking out and not remembering stuff, that's okay, that's normal, when in reality, it's quite the opposite. And step four, inventory, I was forced to face the consequences of my actions and admit I didn't have control for the first time ever. God revealed to me through my mentor and community that I used drinking as a way to avoid close relationships because I feared being hurt if I allowed myself to be vulnerable to anyone. Step seven, follow, was the turning point for me because I chose to ask God to change my heart and mind so I could fully follow Christ. In this step, I had to confront the reality that every choice I make, I'm choosing either to follow God or I'm choosing the sin. God also began refining how I interact with others by just placing me in situations where I'd previously been angry, frustrated, or annoyed. As I started to combat my thoughts with the truth throughout the Bible that Jesus has paid for every sin, I began to experience freedom from anxiety, worry, doubt, depression. Going through the amends process, I just realized that many of the people I hurt were those closest to me. As opportunities to make amends arose, God used those, and they were a means to express why and how I've been changed. This was one of the most uncomfortable things I'd ever done, having to humble myself and be dependent on God to do the honorable thing and not what I wanted to do, which is bury it deep down, never talking about it again. My family recognized the change in me and they wanted to know more about why I changed, which gave me a platform to share Jesus I never thought I'd have. During step 11, intimacy, I developed my own personal relationship with God by daily spending time in the Bible, memorizing scripture, and listening to sermon podcasts. This step was the most rewarding because I felt joy and happiness better than any party, drug, or person ever provided me. I learned I can rely on the promises of God because he fulfills his promises and he's freely available to everyone who wants to know him. Life now is full of hope and joy, knowing that the price Jesus paid so that I could gain access to the Father gives me a sense of value that can't ever be taken away. In the midst of trials and situations out of my control, like my father's passing last year, I can rest in the fact that our Father in heaven loves me, and I get unearned access to him through Jesus and his sacrifice. My walk with God is different now in that I don't treat the Bible as an academic textbook with just rules that I'm to follow. I see it as God's love story of how much he loves me. Seeing it as that love story, I see everything I do is an overflow of God's love for me. Not that I have to earn his love through good deeds. It's so much more than just a check the box thing. It's that God's using me to help others and every opportunity, whether co-leading a step group, being a mentor, or just talking to someone. It's a chance for someone to hear how much you are loved by God. Seeing people as heirs to the promise of Jesus has greatly influenced my relationship with people and the way I handle conflict. I'm much more joyful, compassionate, patient, loving, kind, and generous because of God's work in me. I'm mindful of the words I speak, and when I sin against someone, I work to seek forgiveness as soon as possible versus trying to avoid that person and that uncomfortable moment for as long as possible. This also has helped me to be more understanding of others because no one besides Jesus is perfect, and I'll be disappointed if I expect perfection. Through regeneration, I've learned tools that help me address the deeper heart issues that cause me to sin and to identify those warning signs of when problems are popping up. Being a sinner, I often fall short and fail to listen to these signs and chase my own desires. by God's grace, those instances are getting fewer and farther. And when they do happen, I have a community of strong people around me that I can confess to and get the course correction I so desperately need. One thing my mentor said to me years ago and that I feel so true is that it's not I have to read my Bible or do a quiet time, it's that I get to read my Bible and have a quiet time. That mindset change has helped me look forward to quiet times and have a newfound passion for them. Now it's apparent when I go without spending daily time in the Bible or thinking about all that I have to be grateful for God doing in my life. I'm quick to isolate, get angry, and become frustrated when left alone. But God's great love provides compassion that never fails, faithfulness that never wavers, even when I fail. As the foundation verse in step 12 states in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. If this is your first time at Regeneration, I'd want you to know you're in the right place. God has you here for a reason. Keep coming back and just keep being open to hearing that message that God is love. He loves you. And so I'm Clayton, I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from pride. To God be all the glory for using Regeneration as a means to show his great love for me. Thanks.